Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Clayton Dietz. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Clayton William Dietz was born on January 13, 2015, and lived in the state of Pennsylvania. In 2018, when Clayton was 3 years old, he was adopted by Douglas and Jillian Dietz. Douglas was a truck driver who worked for J.B. Hunt Intermodal. In 2023, the family moved into a duplex on South Market Street in Duncannon, Pennsylvania. This is 15 miles northwest of Harrisburg. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Tuesday, January 13, 2026, at 3:20 a.m., the police responded to the Dietz family home after receiving a report of an unresponsive male. In the home, they found 42-year-old Douglas Dietz dead from a single gunshot wound to his head. The weapon used to kill him was his own revolver. Douglas was in his bed, in the bedroom he shared with his wife. The bedroom was connected to Clayton's bedroom through a closet. The day of the shooting, Tuesday, was Clayton's 11th birthday. Douglas and Jillian stayed up after midnight and sang happy birthday to him. After this, Jillian went to bed. Douglas joined her a short time later. The next thing that Jillian remembered was hearing a loud noise. She noticed there was an odor in the bedroom like fireworks. Jillian tried to wake up her husband, Douglas, but he did not move. She then heard what sounded like water dripping. When she turned on the light, she realized that blood was dripping from her husband's head. At this point, Jillian saw Clayton in the closet. He shouted something like, "He's dead." Clayton then ran downstairs, screaming, "My dad's dead. I killed my dad. I hate myself." When the police were speaking to Jillian and Clayton in the kitchen, Clayton said to his mother, "I killed Daddy." Officers noticed that Clayton had a contusion above his left eye and a bloody lip. How he sustained those injuries was not clear. Clayton told the police that he had a good day with his parents on Monday. However, when his father told him he needed to go to bed after midnight, now on Tuesday, Clayton became mad at him. When the police asked Clayton what happened, he said, "I shot somebody." Clayton explained that his father, Douglas, took away his Nintendo Switch. He thought that his father put it in a safe. Clayton entered his parents' bedroom while they were sleeping and found the key to the safe in his father's drawer. When he unlocked the safe, he saw his father's revolver. Clayton retrieved the weapon, loaded the chambers in the cylinder with cartridges, and cocked the revolver by pulling the hammer back. Clayton then walked over to his father's side of the bed. At this time, Douglas was still asleep. He pointed the weapon at his father's head and pulled the trigger. The police asked Clayton what he thought would happen when he fired the revolver. Clayton said that he was mad and he had not thought about it. The police arrested Clayton and charged him with criminal homicide. Under Pennsylvania law, if a juvenile who is at least 10 years old is accused of homicide, they will automatically be charged as an adult. At the time I am making this video, Clayton's attorney is trying to have the case moved to juvenile court. The police never provided an update about whether Clayton was able to get his Nintendo Switch. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Clayton maintains the presumption of innocence. However, the evidence of his guilt is pretty convincing. He loaded his father's revolver and used it to shoot his father in the head. Clayton told the police that he had his father in mind as someone to shoot when he retrieved the weapon. There would be a court battle about whether Clayton should be tried as an adult, but there seems to be little question he is guilty of criminal homicide either way. This case isn't really about guilty versus not guilty. Rather, the focus will be on what punishment is appropriate. Item number two. A man named David Stuckey spoke to the media about Clayton. He said that he was close to the Dietz family, and Clayton even called him Uncle David. He claimed that Clayton had been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, and the symptoms became worse in 2025. On October 9, 2025, at the request of Douglas and Jillian, David wrote a letter to the Susquehanna School District and asked that Clayton be moved to a behavioral education center. There were concerns about Clayton's behavior toward his fellow classmates, which included alleged physical aggression and theft. According to the letter, in May 2025, Clayton assaulted another student. In June 2025, he made an inappropriate sexual comment to a male student. And in October 2025, he did the same thing to a female student. Allegedly, the school district did not take action based on this letter. Item number three, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. It's difficult to know what happened with Clayton because there's not a lot of information available about his history. For example, why was he put up for adoption? Who are his biological parents? Were his adoptive parents really having trouble with his behavior? And was Clayton really diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder? If the claims made by Uncle David are accurate, this makes it seem like Clayton's behavior was becoming increasingly disturbing and antisocial. Again, Clayton allegedly made inappropriate comments, was physically aggressive, and engaged in theft. It appears as though he was impulsive and had low frustration tolerance. With this in mind, here is what may have happened. On his birthday, Clayton became upset after his father told him to go to bed. Clayton was not interested in going to bed. Rather, he wanted to play with his Nintendo Switch, which his father had taken away. At this point, he did not have any intent on killing his father. Rather, Clayton was simply trying to obtain the Nintendo Switch. He went into his parents' bedroom and searched for the key to the safe, believing the safe contained his device. The level of knowledge that Clayton possessed about the safe is worrisome. For example, he knew the safe unlocked with a key, he knew where to look for that key, and he knew where the safe was located. Jillian told the police that she did not know the location of the key or the safe, so Clayton knew more than his mother. Another worrisome element is how brazen Clayton was. Here he was in the middle of the night, going through his parents' belongings in their bedroom as they slept. This is consistent with being fearless, defiant, and rebellious. When Clayton unlocked the safe, he saw the unloaded revolver. This is when he developed the intent to murder his father. The revolver represented an opportunity. Just like Clayton had knowledge about the safe, he had knowledge about the revolver. He knew how to load it and fire it. Clayton loaded the weapon, pulled the hammer back, walked over to the bed, and stood next to his father as he slept. There were several options available to Clayton at this moment. He could have put the revolver back in the safe and abandoned his homicidal plan. His parents never would have known. He could have tried to wake up his father and used the weapon to threaten him. Maybe this way Douglas would have given Clayton the Nintendo Switch. Clayton could have achieved his objective of getting that item back. Clayton could have fired the weapon into the floor or into the ceiling to send a message to his father that he was serious. This would have been extremely dangerous, but probably would not have resulted in anyone dying, depending on who else was in the home and where they were located. Instead, Clayton pointed the weapon at his father's head and fired. He wanted to be certain his father was dead. This was no longer about getting the Nintendo Switch. This was about revenge. The court will take into account several factors to determine whether Clayton's case will be transferred to juvenile court. This is referred to as decertification in the state of Pennsylvania. The factors include capacity for rehabilitation before the age of 21, amenability to treatment, degree of criminal sophistication, prior record and behavioral trajectory, mental health symptoms, and whether public safety can be reasonably protected. This is a challenging case for the court because the facts of the homicide are highly aggravating, like Clayton forming intent to kill and shooting a vulnerable victim. At the same time, Clayton's young age is highly mitigating. He turned 11 on the day of the shooting. There is no way to know, based on the current evidence, which course of action makes more sense. It is impossible to reliably predict Clayton's future behavior. Research tells us that there are three major types of parricide. This is when a child kills a parent. The first type is a child who was mistreated. The contributing factors are chronic fear, learned helplessness, and self-preservation. The child wants to escape the situation. The killing usually happens after an escalation in the mistreatment. So the situation became worse for the child, and he acted out. The second type is a child who is severely mentally ill. This almost always includes psychosis, that is, having hallucinations and or delusions. The child has a break from reality. The third type is a child who is antisocial. Here we see early aggression, theft, boundary violations, a sense of entitlement, impulsivity, recklessness, a lack of empathy, and a homicide that involves retaliation and planning. The homicide Clayton conducted does not appear to be a good fit for the mistreatment type or the mentally ill type. There is no evidence he was mistreated, and Even if he does have autism spectrum disorder, psychosis is not a symptom of autism. The antisocial type is the only other option available. If Clayton does fit this type, this weighs heavily against the idea that he can be rehabilitated. If he was willing to kill his father in cold blood over an electronic device being taken away, what will he be capable of in 10, 20, or 30 years? Will society ever have a reasonable guarantee of safety from Clayton? Despite the grave concerns the court will undoubtedly have about Clayton, I believe there's about a 65% chance his case will be decertified. If that happens, Clayton will be released by the age of 21, which will give him plenty of time to kill again. Now moving to my final thoughts. The case of Clayton Dietz exposes a pronounced flaw in the criminal justice system. The court is going to have to decide between two stark options for Clayton: stay in the adult system and potentially be sentenced to life in prison, or decertify and be released in 10 years. The problem is, there is no way to know if he can be rehabilitated. Maybe this can be determined years from now, once his personality, behavior, and capacity for empathy can be more reliably assessed. Right now, however, the system is forced to decide based on incomplete information. Maybe it's time that a more flexible, hybrid approach is adopted, one that allows more time to assess the risk that the offender will remain dangerous. In the meantime, precautionary measures such as secure placement, intensive supervision, and mental health counseling can safeguard society without sentencing a child to a permanent fate before we truly know what he will become. Those are my thoughts on the case of Clayton Dietz. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. One element I find interesting in this case is how people react differently to the gun storage protocol that was used. Again, the revolver that was used to kill Douglas Dietz was stored in a locked safe, and the key was in a drawer somewhere in his bedroom. Some people have looked at this case and said, this is just proof that you can do everything right and still get in trouble if you have a weapon in your house. It wasn't like Douglas did anything wrong. Others look at this and say, that's not quite true. He should have stored the gun in a way where Clayton could not access it, period. So having Clayton know where the key is, that's a bad idea. Having the safe in an area where Clayton could reach it, that's a bad idea. This is challenging because Douglas had a right to keep a firearm in his house, and there should be a way to do that so that no one else can access it. It seems like he did put in a good effort. He had the locking safe and the key was somewhere else, but obviously the effort was insufficient. He was killed by his son, Clayton Dietz. He was shot when he was sleeping. So could he have done more? Could he have done more to keep that revolver safe, keep it away from Clayton? Well, I think it's pretty clear that he could have. Whether that would have seemed reasonable to him is a different discussion, but he certainly could have. He could have locked the gun in a place where there were two locking mechanisms that had to be defeated, like a code and a key would be necessary. He could have locked the ammunition in a separate area and had a separate key or a separate code to reach the ammunition. If Clayton had accessed the revolver, that would have been bad, but if he didn't have the ammunition, nobody would have been killed. Something else to consider here is that Clayton may have had behavioral problems, which should have only caused more concern about keeping a firearm secure in the house. Like, that should have been pretty high up on the list in terms of what Douglas was thinking about when he was reviewing the safety protocol for his weapon. If Clayton was behaving aggressively or behaving in the other ways that were alleged, I think that it may have been a good idea not to have a gun in the house at all, or any type of weapon that Clayton could have used. But again, it's very difficult to predict these types of behaviors. Many children misbehave and never go on to shoot a parent in the middle of the night. So it's very tough. It's tough to second guess the situation and say that Douglas was wrong. I think it's more logical to say there were additional steps he could have taken that could have saved his life. So one has to consider if that would have been worth it. Clearly, the extra provisions would have been worth it in this case. and they would not have been difficult. Now, there's also this argument that Douglas needed to have access to the gun for self-defense, so you don't want to put too many barriers between yourself and the weapon. But if we look at where this gun was stored and where the key was stored, I don't think that Douglas could have reached that gun if there was a home invader. Like, he would have to get up, go to that drawer, wherever that drawer was. I don't know if it was in like a nightstand or in a dresser or whatever, but go to that drawer, get the key, go to the safe, unlock the safe, retrieve the revolver, load the revolver. He wouldn't have had time to do that. I mean, maybe if it was a very slow-moving home invasion, that would have been possible. I think that really supports the idea that he could have really locked that gun away much better. He could have made it pretty much impossible to use. Yet another method of securing the weapon that occurs to me is that Douglas could have used a trigger lock on the revolver or a cable lock and run that through the barrel. That way the cylinder could not have closed. So Clayton could have unlocked the safe and retrieved the weapon, but there's nothing he could have done with it. So again, there were lots of ways. There were lots of methods available for Douglas to keep that weapon away from Clayton. And that really should have been the priority, especially considering his alleged behavior. So this is one of those cases where people really can look at it in two ways. Douglas did everything right, and he still died, or there was a lot more that Douglas could do. And maybe it was advisable that he did take further steps based on the circumstances he was facing. To be fair to Douglas, whenever there is an unlikely threat that comes from inside one's own home, it is very difficult to prepare for that. Douglas probably had really no idea this was going to happen, even if there were a few warning signs.